transition number 21660, Rule 1.
Jack Lock, Reel 1. Jack, can you tell me when and where you were born, please?
I was born at Godstone in Surrey, 26th of November 1919.
And what did your father do for a living?
He was a postman.
And where did you live?
I lived a little while in Godstone, and then moved to Sevenoaks. And lived in Sevenoaks for quite a number of years. When I moved out of Sevenoaks 18 years ago. So you can work that one out.
What about your education?
I didn't go to grammar school. When I could have gone to grammar school, I realised my father really couldn't afford to get me there. So I decided I'd stay secondary school, and that's what I did all my life.
And
until I was called up, of course.
Did you have any hobbies or sports that you played?
Oh, I played football. I played all sports. Cricket, football, tennis, swam, everything. I never did play rugby.
Which was your favourite?
Football.
Did you play for the school team or...?
I played for the school team. I was captain of the school team. And I played for Sevenoaks itself. I was captain of Sevenoaks. And they're the only teams I played for, Sevenoaks.
Which teams did you play then?
Sorry?
Which teams did you play?
All around the Sevenoaks area.
Was it organised in a league?
Yes. Sevenoaks league we played in.
And would it be each village or each part of the town would have a different...?
No, there was only one team in Sevenoaks. There were teams in the villages like Dunton Green and Westrum and farther out. Quite a big league.
What position did you play?
I played sometimes right back, but mainly right half. I played for the Army right half.
And did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes. I had three sisters.
So you were the only boy?
I was the only boy.
Were they older or younger than you?
One younger.
And when you moved to Sevenoaks, did your father still stay as a postman?
He was still a postman, yes, he was. He was in the First World War and he was badly wounded. He had a permanent headache. He was hit over the head with the butt of a rifle, as a matter of fact. And towards the end, when, I can't remember the date now, but he suffered with his head and he died when he was 83.
Which regiment had he served with?
Suffolks.
So, when you moved to Sevenoaks, when did you leave school?
When I was 14.
And did you get a job right away?
Yes, I worked for the South Eastern Gas Board. Straight away, got a job straight away.
What was the job?
Worked in the office.
And when you were doing the job, was there anything specific to that job that you had to do on a daily basis?
Basically, when I first started, I looked after the supply of coke to the surrounding countryside. Various other readings I had to take in the factory, and but I was only there for what was called up when I was 19, so I didn't have an awful long time there. I did want to take gas engineering, and I was just about to start to do it, but then the war came along and spoiled everything. So.
With the war, in the late 1930s, had you had any anticipation of a coming war?
That is one reason why I joined the TA, because I thought that conscription was coming on, and I thought I'd rather join the TA than be conscripted, and I joined the West Kents.
Was there a reason for wanting to not be conscripted and join the TA?
Well, if you were conscripted, I suppose you went where you were sent. You didn't have any choice really. And I joined the TA to go into the signal section, and I also considered that if I went to the signal section and was called up and was ordered to go somewhere else, I'd like to join the Royal Signals. That was the main idea.
So you had an anticipation that the war was coming. So
Oh yes.
Where did you get that from? Did you read the newspapers or see the newsreels?
Mainly newspapers, I should think, yes.
And did you think it was inevitable that this would happen?
Yes, I thought it was inevitable, yeah. The way things were going.
What about people around you? Were they a similar feeling?
I think they were. The chappie I joined up with, his name was Ted Collins. He was more or less the same opinion, did more or less the same as I did.
And what memories do you have of the Munich crisis in 1938?
Not an awful lot, I'm afraid.
But at that period, we can say that you were expecting a war, so you joined the TA. And where did you go about, and how did you go about joining the TA?
Well, I think I went to Tunbridge. That was where the headquarters was of the Royal West Kents. And that's where I asked to go into the signal section. But I wasn't in the signal section for very long. And then we went to a camp, at Folkestone. And soon after that, then war was declared.
So when did you actually join the TA?
1938, I think it was.
And what was the camp like that you went to?
It's quite enjoyable, really. Yeah, enjoyed that. Yeah.
What sort of things did you get up to?
Well, we started learning the signal work, and that was quite interesting. Morse code and that sort of thing, and the learning semaphore and everything else. And quite interesting, really.
With that, what was the procedure for learning? Was there a drill, or would you be taken by an NCO?
taken by an NCO, but there were certain drills to consider and work out and learn, yes.
And were the requirements, you mentioned Morse and semaphore. Were there any other things that you had to learn with signals at that time?
I really can't remember the equipment now. I think there were other things to learn, but I can't quite remember them.
You didn't have to learn the heliograph at that time?
No.
I think that's just purely for the Middle East then. So you joined that. Were you issued with a uniform?
Yes.
And what did that comprise of at that time?
Well, I was issued with a uniform, I think. I can't quite remember if it was a battle dress type or not. I think it was battle dress type, yeah. And then we had the usual pack and that's about it. At that time, we weren't issued with any arms, not until the war was declared.
So you'd only really just joined the Territorials when war was declared.
That's right, yeah.
How prepared did you feel you were going to be if there was a war at that point?
Not very prepared at all. We had further training, obviously. But before I did a lot more training, it was at Tunbridge, when we'd been called up, that the orderly sergeant at one dinner parade asked if anybody in the signal section had office experience. And before I was called up, there was a chap by the name of Bill Head. He was a coke carman. He said, deliver coke. And he knew the war was coming. And he said, if ever you get chance to take an administrative job, take it. He said, I'll tell you, take it. So I thought of that, and I took it. And I had an interview that morning, and interviewed the quartermaster. And I became quartermaster's clerk. So I left the signals then. And I remained in that sort of job right through the war.
So, can you give me something of the background to what happened when war was declared? What were you doing at that specific time?
I was working for the Gas Board at that particular time. And I can see it now. Somebody rang up, and I think his name was Saville. He was a chemist in the factory, in the works. And he said, war's just been declared. He said, general mobilisation. So I walked around the factory, around the works, and found the superintendent and told him I was off. I got to go. I got home, and I spoke about Ted Collins. He had been in touch, and he was getting prepared. And my sister, I did have a uniform, not the bad dress, because she was cleaning the buttons. And I said goodbye to the people around, and I went into Sevenoaks, where my father was at the post office. Went into the post office and saw him and said cheerio, and then went on to Tunbridge.
What was your parents' reaction to this happening?
Quite sad, really. Mother had a lot of tears. My father, he was a bit different because he was an old soldier anyway. And I can't remember much else, really.
So what happened when you got to Sevenoaks?
Caught a bus, went down to Tunbridge.
And what was the procedure for reporting in?
We reported at a place called the Phocian Hall. That's where they were taking all the detail, etc. And we were then just given certain duties to do, because there was a lot of digging of trenches going on, even the Phocian Hall. And I somehow got out of that, and I became a gas and air sentry. And walking around looking at this paper that changed colour if there was any gas attack or anything like that. And that was quite easy.
When you'd arrived there, what was the mix like? Were there a number of territorials like yourself who were younger territorials who'd joined just before the war? And older territorials?
Oh yes, there was quite a few of my age, because there was a few of us got together anyway, and we all obviously joined up together. And then there were some of the older stages, and they'd probably been in it for years.
Had any of the older ones had experience of the First World War?
If I remember, I can only remember one who, being an old soldier, he was in France, and he knew his way about round. Well, when we came out to Dunkirk, he knew the way round to get there. And he's really the only one that I knew had experience.
And with the territorials, where were your, what kind of professions and background did the officers have at that stage?
One or two doctor type, lawyers, and office workers like office managers and so on. One or two had been in the meat trade, I know that, but what they actually did I don't know. There's quite a fair mixture of people that have got some professional background.
So you were the gas and air sentry at that time, wandering around with your piece of paper. Yeah. You say that were the bulk of the other recruits at that time just digging trenches?
Digging trenches, yeah.
Was there any reasoning behind the digging of trenches?
Just to prepare for any air attack, I think, because on the first day we were there, there was a warning air warning, air raid warning. Nothing came of it. There wasn't one, but we did have the sirens going.
What was the feeling at the time about air attacks or gas attacks? Did you think they were going to happen?
Well, I think it's obvious they would happen eventually, but didn't expect anything at that particular stage.
Had you been issued with a gas mask at all?
Oh, I don't remember that. I don't think so, not until a later stage.
So what happened next that day then?
Well, I had this interview with the quartermaster, I left the signals and I went to the quartermaster stores.
What kind of accommodation were you in there?
Well, we were in the cattle market. we were in a, did have a building to sleep in, but that was the centre where the centre of the stores was in the cattle market.
And what type of things, you'd gone in as quartermaster's clerk, what were your initial duties there? What would you do on a daily basis?
A daily basis basically was to issue rations. The colour sergeants of the rifle companies, etc., would come in with their numbers of troops that they got company by company. And then I would proceed in working out the amount to be issued, you know, ingredient by ingredient, and so much per man, and watch that, and that was a daily basis.
What type of rations would you be issuing?
Well, everything like sugar, tea, everything for a meal, either whatever meal it was, meat. And
who would do the cooking once the rations had been issued?
Well, the rifle companies would have, if they're going to, you know, out to an area, they would have had either cooks attached, or they may have been in an area where somebody was doing the cooking. Difficult to remember that one.
Had the whole battalion formed up together at that stage? Then in North?
They had formed up, not all together, but they were formed up in other places around the area. Like, there were some in Seven Oaks and some in Westrum, I think, and some in would be Tunbridge Wells, and in Tunbridge itself, and Tunbridge Wells. About sort of area like that, and.
So did you have battalion transport to move the rations about?
Oh, yes. Oh, 1 minute. Yes, there would have been a vehicle of some description to collect that stuff. Normally the colour sergeant would do that.
And when did you start other forms of training? Because you obviously you hadn't been issued with arms while you were territorial. When were you issued with a rifle?
When from there we were moved down to Axminster in Devon, and I think that was the period of time when we were issued with arms. I might be wrong there, but I'm not quite sure. But I can't remember dealing with any arms until we were down in Axminster.
When would you have moved down to Axminster, roughly?
About a couple of months after we were installed at Tunbridge.
So in that period when you were at Tunbridge, what would, you know, obviously you were dealing with the quartermaster side of things, but what would kind of the daily routine be for the rest of the battalion? What would they be doing?
Arms drill, I think, and tactical work. I mean, they had a little bit whilst we were at camp, and going on from there, training.
Was there a lot of drill involved at that stage?
Sorry?
Was there a lot of drill?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Quite a bit of drill.
How did you take to drill?
I didn't do a lot. got involved in the quartermaster side, and all the stores started coming in, and I got involved with a lot of that, not only rations but clothing, replacement clothing coming in, and the smaller kit that the ordinary soldier wanted.
So as a specialist, having a specialist trade within the unit, you were in a different position than men in the rifle.
Oh,
company,
yes. Oh, yeah,
to what you would do.
Definitely.
Did that give you a certain amount of autonomy and freedom to do you kind of plan your own day?
Well, yes. But the quartermaster and I, we actually worked together. And he used to go around and inspect billets, and I always went with him. And his name was, we called him Frisky, his name was Frisky Lampkin. He was quite a character, he smoked like a trooper. And so we did an awful lot together.
Inspecting billets, what would that entail then? What would be him inspecting for?
Well, going to have a look at the amount of room involved and who you could, what type of billet it was, who should go in it. And so on. But,
so at that time you were heavily involved. What happened when? How was the move then from Tunbridge down to Exminster? How did you manage that with the stores side of things?
We had lorries for that, and when we got down to Exminster, we were actually quartermaster stores was billeted in a shop. An old butcher's shop. Could just about get all our stuff in there.
And would you sleep in the butcher's shop with the stores?
Yeah. We had rooms upstairs in the shop.
How would you keep track of stores then? Would you keep a paper record or?
Yes. The sort of thing used to happen with, like in business. Rations or goods, etc., will come in with an invoice, and you check them off, store them, and then they'll be issued out eventually as to what degree it should have to be done.
Was there any problems with, once it had passed from your hands to, say, the colour sergeant, would there ever be any problems from that point on with the distribution of rations or stores or that sort of thing?
No, not really. That will be up to the colour sergeant then to issue them. And obviously the rations will go to who was doing the cooking. But then there's the other side of it, of clothing and footwear, mess tins and that sort of thing that had to be dished out.
Did you ever get any feedback from the troops that they weren't receiving what they thought they should
not
be receiving?
Not really, no.
So, where were the rest of the battalion billeted when you were at Axminster?
Now that's gone.
That's all right, doesn't matter.
No. There's... they're in around Axminster, in small villages, but I can't remember the names.
And how did you get on with the civilians in Axminster?
Very well. Yeah, very well indeed.
Was it? Had you managed to travel around much before you moved down there? Had you seen much of the rest of the country before that point?
No,
all
new to us.
So how long were you at Axminster for then?
Several months. I might have a book in a bedroom that might give us answers on that now.
So would you have been there over the winter period then, 39 to
19? Oh yes, it was a bad winter too. We went out on a training exercise to a place called Batcombe Downs, and it was so cold they cancelled it during the war. In fact, we were sitting on the fenders of lorries, like, to keep warm. And I think we spent a couple of nights out, and we all cut bracken and all that sort of thing to sleep on and lay on, because it's so cold.
Did you have just your ordinary great coat?
That's right, and we had, I think we had a blanket. Mm.
So by that stage, you must have been issued with arms before the exercises. Had you done any shooting at all on the range?
I didn't do a lot of that, actually. Eventually I did, but not in the first stage. In fact, at one stage, I used to go out and use a sniper rifle to see how their accuracy was.
But at that stage, there wasn't much.
No.
So I take it, it sounds very much like this, within your administrative role, you're quite separate from the rifle companies and everybody else.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah.
Did that, obviously later on, would that role have changed as the war progressed?
Well, I still remained in the quartermaster. I became a colour sergeant myself, quartermaster sergeant. But I had a certain amount of training as well to do. But basically, it was administration.
So, what happened when you left Axminster? Where did you go to next?
Axminster, we went over to France.
Have you any memories of the journey across?
We went on a an ordinary tramp steamer, wasn't it? And I think everybody was sick. I know I was, and most other people were too. And then when we got the other side, we got to Calais, we had a long march, and everybody had to carry a case of ammunition, one case between two, and they were quite heavy. And I think we had a 5 or 6 mile march. And by then we got all our kit anyway back, and so we were carrying the lot then. I remember that very distinctly. And then when we got, I forget where we first went to, out of Calais. But I remember as soon as we got there, we were all issued with a airmail letter card sort of thing, so we could ride home. That's very distinct.
Did you have the feeling that you'd gone to a very active service area when you moved to France? Did it have that?
We moved up to